Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Seeking Alpha Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast Sunday edition. Our news team's weekend preview of many of the key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Today is October 20th, and I'm your host, Daniel Schwartzman, in for Rena Sherbo. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. Blue chips and battleground stocks are on the earnings calendar in the week ahead as the pace of Q3 reports accelerates. UPS reports in an update that should shed some light on whether the issues at FedEx are a bellwether, and Caterpillar will update on a quarter impacted by the trade war. The state of the U.S. consumer will get a check when McDonald's and Procter & Gamble spill numbers, while tech giants Intel, Amazon, and Twitter will issue some closely watched guidance updates. Boeing is on the hot seat just as even more questions crop about the 737 MAX issue, and Tesla's earnings day is always a crowd pleaser. The healthcare sector has its own separate drama to watch next week, with opening statements in the first federal trial over the U.S. opioid epidemic taking place. Keep an eye on Endo International, Mallinckrodt, Johnson & Johnson, McKesson, and Teva Pharmaceuticals as the focus on the trial intensifies. Tesla is in the spotlight as it's due to report earnings on October 23rd amid burning questions on the company's profitability track and if it can hit its full-year deliveries guidance. As always, the free cash flow tally for the quarter will also be watched closely, with Tesla only generating positive free cash flow in 5 quarters over the past 5 years. On the brighter side, updates on the Gigafactory 3 in Shanghai and Model Y should take some of the sting off another quarter of losses. Heading into earnings week, Tesla's on a bit of a winning streak, up 18% from the September low. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise hosts its 2019 Securities Analyst Meeting on October 23rd. CEO Antonio Neri and CFO Tarek Robbiati will discuss HPE's strategy and financial outlook. Other companies with events during the week include Schlumberger on October 21st and Scotiabank on October 24th and 25th. Facebook CEO founder Mark Zuckerberg is poised to testify about the Libra cryptocurrency next week before the U.S. House Financial Services Committee. While partners like PayPal, Visa, and MasterCard have dropped out of the project, Facebook hasn't backed off from a plan to launch Libra in 2020. Looking at the regulatory scene in general, Wedbush analyst Dan Ives says his firm fully expects Apple will be the next tech giant to feel more government pressure from Brussels and the Beltway. The Mobile World Congress 19 Los Angeles Conference is called a fusion of 5G, IoT, AI, and big data exhibitions and talks under the same roof. Boingo CEO Mike Finley, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, Sprint CEO Michael Combs, and Viacom CEO Robert Bakish are some of the notable speakers due to give speeches. Nordstrom is set to open its 320,000-square-foot Manhattan flagship store on October 24th. The store's location on Broadway and 57th Street positions it to be a tourist draw, while Nordstrom's collaborations with Nike, Everlane, Burberry, Madewell, and others are aimed at raising the brand's profile. Shares of Nordstrom are down 41% over the last 52 weeks. The Tokyo Motor Show launches on October 24th with a theme of open future. Mazda will unveil an electric SUV and Toyota will display its production-ready ultra-compact battery electric vehicle, as well as a fourth-generation Yaris car built off the automaker's global architecture and Mirai hydrogen fuel cell vehicle. Meanwhile, Honda is teasing a new Jazz hatchback introduction and will show off a new Fit platform. Mitsubishi Motors will display the MiTech concept, a crossover that uses a gasoline turbine engine to power 4 electric motors. Perhaps the most closely watched introduction will be what Lexus does with its all-electric concept vehicle. In theory, that could be a Tesla Challenger someday. Verona Pharma says it will present positive symptom data from a phase 2b trial with nebulized ensifentrine in chronic obstructive pulmonary disease at the CHEST annual meeting on October 21st. Arvinas plans to update on its PROTAC protein degrader platform and data on October 23rd at the second targeted protein degradation summit. RegenX Bio will present two posters at the European Society of Gene and Cell Therapy 27th Annual Congress in Barcelona, Spain from October 22nd to 25th. Amicus Therapeutics is also set to present AAV9-CLN6 gene therapy from Phase 1-2 trial in CLN6 Batten disease at the Child Neurology Society Annual Meeting. PDUFA dates arrive next week for GlaxoSmithKline's Zejula, as well as Baxdela sNDA, a product of Melinta Therapeutics and Ligon Pharmaceuticals. Lyft co-founder and CEO Logan Green and President John Zimmer will participate in a fireside chat at WSJ Tech Live on October 22nd. Call of Duty Modern Warfare is due to be released on October 25th by Activision Blizzard. Initial reports say all future maps and new modes will be released for free, and the game will feature crossplay across all platforms. The release strategy is being called a major departure from previous games in the Call of Duty series. It's a bit of a light fall release season overall, with many of the major publishers waiting for the new consoles in 2020. Video game spending is off 6% year-to-date to $8.3 billion, as Activision, Take-Two Interactive, Nintendo, Electronic Arts, and Ubisoft Entertainment pin their hopes on next year. The BioInvestor Forum features 13-minute presentations by over 150 biotech names poised to join the growth watch list. Public and venture stage companies will present, and expert-led panel discussions will occur on the latest investment opportunities, with an emphasis on drug and technology development. Publicly traded biotechs making an appearance include IMV, Resolute Management, Dare Bioscience, Seska Therapeutics, Cobar, Summit Therapeutics, and Zenetic Biosciences. The U.S. box office is expected to have a fairly brisk weekend. Disney's Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, is forecast to draw $41 million across 3,800 theaters in its debut, while Warner Brothers' Joker is seen bringing in another $32 million. Sony's Zombieland 2 Double Tap is expected to open with a weekend haul of $24 million, and UAR's The Addams Family is still knocking around with an $18 million forecast for the weekend. And this week in Barron's Mentions, the stocks and themes drawing attention in Barron's Weekly Edition. The streaming television revolution is sized up in the cover story. Comcast is set to stack up better than investors might expect because its broadband service is the top means of delivering Netflix and Amazon Prime to homes in the markets it serves. Disney is called the heavy favorite for the number two spot in total streaming subscribers, but the transition has seen slowing down earnings. Meanwhile, AT&T, CBS, and Viacom are called challenged but cheap. The S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats were filtered for the safest dividend payouts of the group. Illinois Tool Works, Johnson & Johnson, Nucor, Pentair, and W.W. Grainger made the final list. We end this week's Stocks to Watch with our single stock focus. This week we discussed Safehold and Dane Bowler's argument that the company is a short, which was selected as a Pro Plus top idea on Seeking Alpha. The ticker symbol is SAFE, S-A-F-E. The stock closed at $33.98 a share on Friday, and it has a market cap of $1.37 billion and an enterprise value of $1.87 billion. Safehold is a real estate investment trust, or a REIT, focused on leasing out ground beneath buildings. Bowler states his case plainly in the first paragraph, to quote, "Safehold has a cost structure problem. Its overhead is not being sufficiently overcome by revenues due to a low ROIC combined with fairly egregious management compensation." The issue, as Bowler explains it, is that the company's lease contracts have long lifespans and rents that rise over time, but GAAP-recognized revenue gives the company credit for the average rent amount over the term of the contract, even though they're receiving less cash than that in the initial years of the leases as the rent escalators kick in. The company has attempted to buy growth, but Bowler argues that their true returns on investment are 3% in the initial years of the lease, versus costs for the debt around 4% in interest. And while in theory Safe could issue equity to fund acquisitions, the management team gets paid based on the amount of equity in the company, and their percentage of that payment gradually climbs from 1% to 1.5% as the base of equity rises, which means increased costs through that route as well. Underlying all of this is that Safe is both externally managed and owned by iStar, another REIT. iStar owns 67% of Safe, which has supported the stock price and reduced the float available to individuals. At the same time, shareholders have no real recourse to advocate for change with the company's management. REIT investors may be familiar with similar arrangements involving the RMR Group or Ashford Hospitality, Bowler points out, and those companies trade at discounted multiples of adjusted funds from operations. SAFE decidedly does not, trading at 66 times AFFO. Bowler concedes that the company trades at 24 times FFO, which is more reasonable, but that reflects the GAAP-recognized straight-line revenue, which requires the adjusting for actual cash. The company doesn't cover its dividend, and Bowler suggests there could be 30% downside if the market corrects SAFE's peer set. Meanwhile, the sell side has a hold rating on this stock. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.